Friends, we are continuing along in this second week of Advent today with the second stanza in our hymn, People Look East, which we're taking some time to dig into a little bit this year, both through my Sunday morning sermon series as well as through the Bible studies that I'm leading on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as we take this season to do some preparing and to do some anticipating, to do some allowing of our hearts to reset their time and their rhythm to God's steady pace right here in our midst. This year, I'm asking us all to do some imaginative work as we make those preparations, because preparing ourselves spiritually for this thing that is coming can look very different and can feel very different and can be entered into very differently depending upon our imaginations and our understandings, how we think about this thing that we're engaging in. That's one of the main reasons why I've asked us to slow down with what our hymn for this season, People Look East, is really saying about expectation and about preparing, so that we can have time to think about and to imagine this thing that we're engaging in, so that we can really step in deeply and inhabit. In last week's sermon, I talked about this theme of Advent spiritual preparation with stanza one of our hymn, which asks us to imagine our preparing in Advent as if we were preparing a home to receive a guest. And with that sort of image in mind, we know just what to do, don't we? And we can get right to work. We can clean up our house. We can cook the meal. We can set that table with care and with attention, prepare that space of warmth and gathering there in our homes to receive our guest, share our hospitality, open a welcome space. That metaphor there of a coming guest, it turns out, helps us to know pretty well what to do, what to get started on, how to prepare in the event that our guest should hop on a plane and come our way. And it even gives us an image and a direction to go out into our world with when we remember that receiving Christ as our guest isn't just about waiting to receive that Son of Man coming floating down from the clouds, but even today, seeing his presence in every single person, in the least of these, and in welcoming those who are made in Christ's image. But of course, we all know very well that the guest we're talking about in this season isn't going to hop on a plane and come our way, and that the hymn here isn't literally telling us that the best way to prepare for the coming of Christ is to set a nice dining table or prepare our fireplace for a nice cozy time of visiting. That's what makes this hymn into a spiritual exercise. It wants to stretch our imagination around the many different things that preparing for the coming of something can mean. With that in mind, let's listen again to the words of this second stanza, which we've heard sung already this morning. It reads, "Furrows, be glad. Though earth is bare, one more seed is planted there. Give up your strength, the seed to nourish, that in course the flower may flourish. People look east and sing today. Love, the rose, is on the way." You know, our Christian tradition, as well as our scriptures, often ask us to think and to imagine with the realities and images of nature, don't they? "Consider the lilies of the field," Jesus once said. And how many parables are there about seeds as images of faith? Mustard seeds, for example, and seeds that fall on different kinds of soil, trees that represent the scope and the shade of the kingdom of God, and from just last week, fig trees that help us know when the day is near to arriving. Jesus and those of his time and place, and for many centuries before as well, they were agriculturalists, of course. They spent a lot of their time in the outdoors, and even when farming wasn't their main occupation, these images and these realities were still very near to hand. Our scripture reading for today, our scripture readings, in fact, all lean on these sorts of images and metaphors to tap into a deep awareness in us and to awaken something in us, to grab our attention so that we'll snap out of our slumber and wake up and start making ready. In Isaiah, there is a vast, uneven desert that's got to be leveled and have a royal highway paved right down the middle of it. There are high parts that have got to be brought low. There are low parts that have got to be raised high. There are rough places that have to be smoothed out and made into a plain. This road has got to be made straight, Isaiah says. That's a hard ask because there are no roads like that in the desert. Not even Roman roads of centuries and centuries later were that straight and smooth. Not even the modern day roads of today run totally straight and avoid all the climbs and all the descents. But this isn't supposed to be just any old road either. This is God's road, God's highway, a pathway fit for a triumphant royal procession. You know, the Judean exiles that had spent some time in Babylon during Jeremiah's day would have heard Isaiah's phrase here with a different set of ears than we do. They would have heard his phrase here, highway for our God, which in Hebrew is Mesila le'Eloheinu. They would have heard that and remembered that there over the hill, there in the city of Babylon, there was a great temple there that had a huge processional highway associated with it that ran straight out the front of those temple doors. And that the priests and the people every so often throughout the years would march and parade down as part of their processionals and their religious festivals. And that highway that ran out the temple, that highway was also called the Mesila, the highway of that temple. But this highway that Isaiah is talking about, this highway of our God, this highway wasn't to run straight and true out the front doors of some grandiose temple. It was to run straight and true through a desert, to lead a captive people home. But all the same, here we have an image of nature, an image of the desert, for a people that have spent some time traveling through a desert. And the psalm for today as well, Psalm 85, just can't help itself in looking ahead to that day when renewal will come. It speaks there in verse 11 about faithfulness springing up from the ground and about righteousness looking down from the sky like clouds. So that in verse 12, it says, the Lord will give what is good and the land its increase. The two go hand in hand, you see. The world and the blessing of the ground, the natural world, are so intertwined in all of the Bible's expectations and imagery. Even John the Baptist, baptizing in the wilderness, and is shot through in this reading here today with some really powerful and suggestive images that would have been picked up by someone used to living in those places. He's wandering in the wilderness of Judea. He's out there in uninhabited land, probably rocky, probably dry and uncultivated. But people are going to go out there seeking life. They're going to travel out to him in the desert to water, to receive their baptism. They're being baptized in the river by a guy who dresses for desert living and eats what one wouldn't eat unless you were living away from places that grow real food. And the point is that these nature images too speak deeply to us about what it looks like to prepare. Not in terms of our homes for a guest, but in terms of the soil for what it might yield. And for the surprises that await us in what an especially unfertile soil can yield. The furrows, the tilled and planted soil is told to be glad in our hymn stanza today because something very beautiful, something unexpected is about to arise from its ground. But as the hymn continues, it's got to do its own sort of preparation if it's ever going to see that realized into the light of day. It's got to yield those minerals and those nutrients within itself and devote them to that seed in order to make ready for that day. And what the final line of stanza 2 reveals is that the seed contains a rose. And what kind of preparing is involved to really make us ready to see a rose? What might I have to invest of myself, not only to be able to see it spring up from the ground, but to appreciate its beauty once it's there? When was the last time that you stopped and pondered on the beauty of something? It's really easy to pass those things by and ignore them, isn't it? It can strike us as a low priority item, beauty. But even when we do make time for it, are we really always ready to receive what's before our eyes? Or have we allowed them to become too dull, too impatient to gaze at beauty for very long? How do we prepare our eyes to see something beautiful, friends? Does beauty just happen upon us by surprise and we're lucky if we catch it? Or does it require something from us to prepare ourselves for it? Like these furrows in the hymn that offer up something deep within themselves in order to nurture it along and prepare for its coming. And so this week, we're invited to take on yet another mode of preparing. Last week, we took up the challenge to prepare our homes as a spiritual exercise and to prepare a home somewhere out there in our world by looking for some way in which we can take part in some hospitality and in preparing a home happening out there in our world. And I hope you did take a chance to take part in that. And if you didn't, there's still time. This week, though, we're being asked to do more in the way of internal preparing. Preparing our capacity to see and to appreciate beauty. Preparing ourselves to be able to see and to appreciate that rose when it springs from the ground. And so this week you get another assignment. I want to ask you to set some time aside with something that will improve your ability to appreciate beauty when it arrives. That will refine your awareness of the gift of a rose. Something that will allow you to say more full-heartedly and more knowledgeably about something, look how beautiful this is. And most especially, of course, that will allow you to say more fully and more knowledgeably, look at how beautiful he is. Spend some time training your eyes for beauty this week, church, as your spiritual discipline of preparation. May we all arrive upon Christmas morning this year more able to notice the beauty of what's right in front of us. And all of God's people said, Amen.